burden that God never intended a man to bear.
I'm not sure I'm in full agreement with that, because I think a lot of the role of a pastor is also shepherd. And a shepherd cares for his flock.
Oh, I agree with that. That's what I'm saying.
A lot of times, that's what I'm trying to say, is by the time you get home, you've put so much care into your flock that, as you've been called to do, because you've been called to be a pastor, it wasn't something that I chose. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a camp director. I never wanted to be a pastor of a church. God called me out of camping and put me in the church. So when you follow the Lord's lead and you shepherd the people, sometimes it's hard to have anything left in the tank. Yeah. You even shepherd your own flock.
What happens then if the pastor inspires the people to do the work of the ministry? Then he's got more freedom, and the people are starting to get involved in their homes and their hearts, and they're all reaching out their hands to be the kingdom of God extended. Friends, it's time for us to merge our hearts, the church, and the home together. And Mark's book will be very, very helpful. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. And remember, the just shall live by faith, but that means that we have to live by faith. We have to live the truth.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And what's going on over in Japan is a beautiful example of illusion and how they can use word associations to confusion. Our special guest this evening is Pastor David Whitney, and I'm only going to speak for a couple of minutes here, but I think it's vitally important that we do. First of all, there's panic. Everybody wants to get potassium iodate or iodorol or some sort of iodine and start taking it. Do not take it. There's no reason in the world to take it. We haven't had any evidence of radiation in this country, and specifically I-131 radiation. There's no reason to take it. Now, you should have some iodine on hand, potassium iodate, if there were to be a nuclear attack or a dirty bomb. But do not take it now. You should have it on hand, but there's no danger. They talk about, oh, it's a nuclear power plant, and thousands of people have died, and that's really true. Thousands of people have died, but they didn't die because of the nuclear power plant. And, of course, then, oh, well, it's a nuclear power plant, and there's been an explosion there. But you can't get a nuclear explosion in a nuclear power plant, because it simply operates by generating steam. It has heat. It generates steam. Oh, you got these fusion reactions. And you can't get nuclear fusion in a nuclear power plant, because you're not dealing with enriched uranium. Oh, they've blown off the tops of the buildings. Well, they may have blown off the top of a building, but I do not believe they've blown the top off of a containment building. In other words, those specifically are utilized to contain the fuel rods. They may have blown the top off of a building. There might even be a crack someplace, but I don't really think so. This is all hype designed to confuse you and to frighten you. And the old adage, if it bleeds, or if it bleeds, it reads. People will want to read bad news. But what really bothers me is so many people have panicked. I mean, there are a lot of things to be concerned about. You should be making preparations. I think there are going to be some terrible catastrophes coming to our country, but this is not one of them. make your preparations, make them now. I will tell you right now, we've had hundreds of requests for the potassium iodate. You can't buy it for love nor money anyplace. And this is what's going to happen when the food runs out, when the water runs out. You're not going to be able to get your Berkey's. Oh, certainly when the use of health, when the health products wear. Run out, you're not going to be able to get those. When crisis comes, everything will disappear off the shelves of our stores. Start making your preparations now for the difficult times that lie ahead. And if this serves any useful purpose, it serves the purpose of pointing out what happens when there's panic. And there is panic today. Everybody wants potassium iodate. No need at all to take potassium iodate and certainly calmly wait until things quiet down, becomes available. We'll try to get as many out as we have. We've been fortunate to have at least some on hand, although I think probably all we have has been sold. And recently people calling want 10 bottles. We're giving them one. You do not need to take anything at the present time. But you need to understand they're playing games with your mind. Read the articles, oh, possibly a leak, probably a leak, possibly the roof is blown off. It's all playing word games with your mind. Learn to read what's going on and listen to the voice of reason. Well, this is Pastor David Whitney. David, thanks very much for being with us. Pardon me for taking up so much time. But this is an important message. People have to learn to challenge what they read and hear.
And thank you for your wisdom. Again, the voice of reason. And
hold that thought. Go right ahead, David.
Voice of reason in the midst of a panic. And people, you're right, should be prepared for disasters that are more likely to affect us than that. And what we need to recognize is that what we have come to expect from our government, both federal, state, and local government, we should not be expecting from any human source other than ourselves, our own families, and our churches. Those should be the organizations that we look to for help in time of crisis. But the American people, Katrina was a very good illustration of this, where the people were crying out, where's the government? Well, you know, no, it's not the role of the federal government. In fact, it's hardly the role even of the state government to enter into an emergency situation and take care of the people in that situation. So we need to prepare to take care of ourselves. And indeed, our founders knew that the best security for our rights, our God-given rights, is a government that does not involve itself in many of these things that today we expect our government to be involved. We expect it to be involved in managing health care, or many people do, or expect it to be managing the labor market. You hear all the pundits saying, oh, you know what, the government needs to create jobs. What? No, that's not their job, and it's not their duty according to our Constitution at all. But because the people have been lax themselves in understanding what our Constitution actually says the government is supposed to do, and more importantly, what it says the government is not supposed to be doing, we've come to expect the wrong things from our government. But that's beginning to bite us very severely now, as we see the limitations as the government is going broke on the state level, very apparently, and the federal level, of course, has been broke for some time, but they just keep printing more and more money, devaluing the dollar, just furthering the depression that we're already into. But as we've talked in the past about what our Constitution states and the very clear limitations it places upon the federal government and the balance of power in favor of state governments and their powers versus a very limited power for the federal government, the question comes, how in the world did we get from that view of limited government following the specific enumerated powers in the Constitution and the gargantuan Leviathan government of Washington, D.C. today? Well, we got there because there was a changing view of truth that began to sprout in the 18th century at the time of the founding of our country, sprout in Europe with so-called philosophers as Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who were rejecting the concept of sin and saying that men are good and the only evil that exists in the world is due to human institutions and this kind of thing.
Hold that thought, David. We'll be back here in just a minute with all of our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is Pastor David Whitney. And David was just saying that basically today, everybody looks to government to solve our problems. Ladies and gentlemen, government cannot solve our problems. Government is our problem. What did the government do for the people in Katrina? Why, of course, they went into the areas where, the people were safe and they had food, and they disarmed them and they forced them out of their homes to go to more or less concentration camps. They took thousands of blacks and they put them into ready-prepared government trailers loaded with formaldehyde, and these people got deathly ill. Why would you put all those blacks into trailers where they ever had to breathe, or prefabbed homes loaded with formaldehyde? That's what you do to embalm people's bodies. And of course, it breaks down in methanol. They know that. Why would you do that? I mean, do you mean you can't have a prefabbed home or a trailer that where they're not required to build formaldehyde? Is that what you really want? You start looking after yourself, ladies and gentlemen, because there are people in government who have a different agenda because they worship a different God. We are to look after ourselves and after our families. The churches are to help us. At the highest level we should go to for any sort of support would be certainly our local community, and we certainly should have a poorhouse for people there who really can't provide for themselves so that nobody starves to death, and we would have a county hospital. But once the federal government provides for your health care, it determines who lives, who dies. Let's get back to the Constitution, David, the most amazing document, because it limited the power of the federal government so men could be free, but there's always been those who wanted a dictatorship in America who have progressively expanded the power of the government, and they're subversives, and they're working in our universities, they're working on our great foundations, they're working in both houses of Congress. They're even working in the White House. Go right ahead, David. Mm-hmm.
Amen. And you wonder, if the Constitution was so clear and its meaning was so obvious to everyone at the time of its ratification and drafting, how did this change today where, supposedly the resident in the White House is a constitutional scholar who taught in law school the U.S. Constitution? What happened? Well, the changing view of truth of people like George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, who rejected the concept of absolute truth and said truth changes and evolves from age to age, or Charles Darwin contributed to this in the biological realm, claiming that his model, which is all it really is, it's not even a theory in a sense because it cannot be tested and proven. No one can go back and see what happened and put it in a laboratory and test it. And so the model of evolution claims that the struggle of survival of the fittest, that things alter and things change over time, adapting themselves to every new development. And Herbert Spencer, who's often called Darwin's bulldog, took this and developed it into a philosophy, a worldview, and he claimed that this evolutionary theory was the unifying principle affecting every academic discipline. So economics, social Darwinism and economics meant tooth and claw competition. The good thing to do was to destroy the competition. I believe it was Rockefeller who said that competition is a sin, that he was out and he did it. He destroyed every competitor in his oil business. And then in fields like psychology, Freud and Jung adopted a psychology that incorporated evolution, and evolution supposedly in the minds of human beings, and sociology and anthropology, and on the list goes. And in the field of law, this theory of evolution was applied as well, specifically with Harvard Law School, which was founded, people don't often know this, it was actually founded to change how law was conducted in our country. In other words, the evildoers were working at the highest levels, and they recognized that they would not easily change our Constitution. Its amendment process is very difficult, designed to be difficult, and they recognized that they could not succeed in simply amending the Constitution to radically alter our form of government. They had to attack it at the level of what the meaning of those words were on the page and actually change the meaning of the words to mean something opposite to what they meant to our founders. That's a huge project. If you set out and say, we've got a document here, and we're going to turn that document 180 degrees. We're going to put it on its head, and we're going to do that by redefining the words and redefining the concepts that all of that is based on. That's an enormous task. That's a They have to applaud these evil and wicked people because they had a long-range vision. They recognized it was going to take multi-generations to accomplish this vision, and they recognized the place to start was creating a new system of law and training every stinking lawyer in our country to believe this new system of law. And that was why Harvard Law School was founded, and it pioneered this legal positivism and rejected the natural law theory, which is what our founders based our Constitution on when they said in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and nature's God. They were espousing a theory of law that is based upon God's law, God's word, the Creator. It's He, the Creator, who's given us right. Well, legal positivism rejected every concept that our founders held to. And they said, there's no divine absolutes in law. Really? I mean, so thou shalt not kill is not a divine absolute? Thou shalt not steal is not? Yeah, that's what they said. And if there are any divine injunctions, well, those are not really relevant to our modern legal system. Well, modern you should put in quotes so you could replace that word modern with barbaric legal system, which means the wicked can do whatever they please as long as they have all the guns and prisons and police force and so on. And they would claim with their legal positivism that law is simply man-made. You know, whatever the state says, whatever those in power say is law. Look at the results of this in Germany, because that's exactly what Germany's philosophy was leading up to the Weimar Republic, to the Nazi Germany regime. They made laws to say, yes, you can throw Jews in the oven. Well, oh, hey, it's legal. Well, what's to say that they couldn't turn on the German people themselves? They were going to throw German people in the oven, and next week it'll be Polish people, whatever. Of course they could, because if all law is simply man-made and there are no divine absolutes, whoever has the power, whoever has the guns and the army and the prisons and the judges, whoever that is the one who is the master, and the rest of you, whether you recognize it or not, are simply cannon fodder and slaves. Your life, liberty, and property have no protection whatsoever from such a tyrannical government. Well, legal positivism from Harvard Law School, Christopher Columbus Langdell being the first dean who fomented this wicked idea, legal positivism claims that law evolves as man evolves. Well, again, we've said that evolution is not a proven theory. There's no proof that man has evolved at all. So that undercuts this philosophy entirely. But what about this idea that law evolved? So that today it's lawful to do a certain action. Let's say the action is to drive 60 miles an hour down a road. And tomorrow, all of a sudden, that is illegal. Or let's put it more pointedly. Today, it is illegal to murder someone in a certain class of citizen in the society. But tomorrow, it's legal to murder them. What do you have? You have a society in which there's no fixed absolutes. There's no security. Anyone can have their life taken from them because, hey, they just pass a law and say, okay, everybody with red hair, today we're going to take your life. You're going to the gas ovens. Or tomorrow we say everybody who has brown eyes, all those people are going to be executed. Doesn't matter. You have no recourse. You realize that your life, liberty, or property are never secure in such a system of government. Our founders said in the Declaration of Independence, the very purpose for which government exists is to secure and protect your God-given rights according to the laws of nature and nature's God, the first of which is the right to life and the right to liberty and the right to property. Well, this legal theory throws all of that to the wind and says, well, you know, yesterday it might have been the job of the government to protect your life, but not today. Law evolves. And you wonder, well, wait a minute, how's that process of evolution of law, how does that work? Well, they explain it. They explain it this way. Judges are the ones who guide the evolution of law when they write their opinion. By the way, if you ever get something issued by a court, it is an opinion. It says right there at the top, the opinion of this court is blah, 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 blah. It's their opinion. Wait a minute, how does an opinion become law? Or how does the judicial branch make law? Well, according to our founders, it cannot make law. There's a separation of powers between the executive and the legislative and the judicial, and the legislative is the branch who writes law code, not the judiciary and not the executive. so this, you could say, this philosophy coming out of not only Harvard, but now as a result of Harvard's influence on all the other law schools, 99.9% of law schools produce students who are taught this theory that I can only call unlaw. Unlaw, the opposite of true law, the opposite of what our founders constructed in our constitutional republic, the opposite in every way. Well, if judges are the guide by writing their decisions, then Christopher Columbus Langdale claimed that the scientific way, therefore, to study law was to go to the original sources, that is, to study the decisions, to study the opinions of judges. And that's what they do in law school today. It's called the case law method. You study what this judge wrote, and then what that judge wrote, and then the evolution of law that is evident in their opinions as they write their opinions. And all of this puts us under a despotism of judges, which is what Thomas Jefferson and others warned us that we never wanted to be under an oligarchy of judges. That's an extremely dangerous position. They knew what that was like under King George III. And they've specifically structured our government such that the judicial branch was designed to be the weakest of the three branches, and they said so. So they would be shocked to see that the weakest of the three branches has now become the most powerful and the most tyrannical, for we today are indeed are really under a tyranny of black-robed lawyers, is really all judges are.
And I actually, at one point, Jefferson wrote, you know, I see within the construction of the Supreme Court the possibility that you will have a body that a little by a little here and a little there, and eventually we will centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and have a tyranny as bad as that which we've recently overthrown. Go right ahead, David.
And so the interesting thing to remember is most Americans have a very dim view of attorneys. I have some friends who are really good attorneys, but I agree with most Americans.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Government over the individual. The whole idea of our Constitution was to limit the power of federal government so men could be free. Well, they don't want that. The corporate elite want all power centralized in Washington, D.C. One of the most frightening decisions, you never heard about it, totally blocked out by the media, but the Supreme Court recently held that vaccine manufacturers cannot be held responsible for putting out faulty vaccines that destroy the lives of children because Congress had voted and created a vaccine court. Of course, it was supposed to be a no-fault insurance to take care of people who had troubles after vaccination, but the federal government didn't want to give up the money, and so the vaccine manufacturers now are allowed to produce a product that they know was going to hurt a lot of people. If they didn't know it was going to hurt a lot of people, and they wouldn't say, you know, we have to have a mandate so that we can't be sued for any bad results we get. But, of course, basically what we've done and the Supreme Court has held, that even though the vaccine manufacturers know their vaccines are faulty and they're going to hurt people and their means of doing it better and cheaper and more efficiently, why they can't be held responsible for destroying the lives of people, and it's all right even to mandate that people be forced to take vaccines, for manufacturers don't even trust their own products, and not a word about this in the media. You can find out more about it at Barbara Lofischer's website, NVIC.org, that's National Vaccine Information Center.org. Watch Barbara's impassionate plea as she points out that the Supreme Court has held that parents and children have no rights. All the rights of the vaccine manufacturers, you can't sue them, even though that they know that they're putting out a product that's going to harm children. But that's perfectly all right, because Congress voted and said it was all right. And congressmen voted and said it was all right because they got paid off by the vaccine manufacturers. And if that really happened, why wasn't that on the front pages of the paper? Why didn't Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck tell us about that? Why we've got the finest commentators and the finest judges and the finest politicians that money could buy? Go right ahead.
And those kind of actions just show you it's a criminal cabal that is really running the show here. And they recognize that the Constitution stands in their way. So they had to come up with a way in which they could change the meaning of the words of the Constitution, and they call that theory that they've put forward the living Constitution. And really, it's brilliant if you see the evil in it. It's brilliant, because who would want to talk about a dead Constitution? That sounds like a bad idea. But a living Constitution really means it is whatever the judges say it is. And the judges are not bound by the intent of the framers. They are free to give new meaning to the Constitution and the words of the Constitution. Some scholars have even said that the court, the Supreme Court in specific, is, quote, a continuing constitutional convention. What? That's completely illegal. If you understand the terms of our Constitution, you cannot have a constitutional convention unless it's specifically called according to the Article 5 specifications for calling a constitutional convention. You can amend the Constitution, but it has to be done by the amendment process specified by Article 5. The Supreme Court is in no way legally according to our Constitution, a continuing constitutional convention. But they see themselves as that. Oh, yes, they would recognize, if they're honest, that their philosophy of law does not follow the philosophy of our founders. But they say that doesn't matter. You see, because we're under a living constitution, and they'll claim that what our founders gave us was a flexible, fluid, ever-changing thing, evolving into time and so forth. No, no. You read our founders and say they say the exact opposite of that. So these people are very shrewd liars and deceivers. And the result is that judges who hold this view, and again, I would say it's the majority of judges. There are some good judges out there who do not hold to this view, but the majority of judges feel free to create new rights not found in the Constitution, rights like abortion or rights like supposed protection of sodomy conduct on the part of homosexuals. Those rights are not in the Constitution. They're not protected rights. They're certainly not God-given rights, because God never gave anybody the right to murder their unborn child. God never gave anybody the right to participate in homosexual activity. No, that's not a right. It's a wrong, and very clearly a wrong, as God's standard, God's word, plainly states.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ghost Pastor David Whitney. And certainly we'll be back here in just a moment as we explore what is the meaning of our Constitution. It is fixed based upon God's law. Eternal, never changing, except they're changing it all the time. David, go right ahead.
Well, when you look at this legal positivism that's being taught in all the law schools, there's radical offshoots that are even further extreme. And actually, the interesting thing about these two radical offshoots is, in one sense, they're more honest than the typical legal positivism of law school. One is called legal realism, and it argues that since there's no divine absolute, since there's no natural law principles, none of that exists at all, the legal system should really stop pretending to be neutral, pretending to be objective. Instead, it should just openly work to advance the causes and clients it favors. In other words, you won't be treated equally under the law. We see that happening. I mean, well, you mentioned the vaccine manufacturers. No, they're not being treated equally under the law. They have special protections that the rest of us don't get. What? How can that happen? Well, legal realism. The other aspect, which is a Marxist offshoot, is called the critical legal studies movement, and it argues that the legal system should be openly partial to the poor, to the quote-unquote oppressed, and should work against the rich, work against the religious establishment, and so forth. And so these movements actually reveal what legal positivism is all about. It's not about honesty. It's not about fairness. It's not even about justice. It's about one group of people aggrandizing power and abusing power against another group of people. And we know ultimately that means the New World Order goons enslaving the entire world population, that there's the slaves and then there's the masters that are part of the New World Order. That's all their vision is of the future. And, of course, the Constitution, as it was written by our founders, stands in their way. Well, there's many, many illustrations we could cite of court opinions that reveal this, but one that comes to mind was in 1972, the case Furman v. Georgia. This is a case regarding capital punishment. Justices Brennan and Marshall reveal their evolutionary view of law when they argued in a concurring opinion that capital punishment is, quote, cruel and unusual punishment barred by the Eighth Amendment. Now, that's very strange, because the Eighth Amendment was ratified at the same time that the Fifth Amendment was, and the Fifth Amendment speaks of capital punishment as one possible outcome for certain crimes.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. Now, if you have a question, why, we'll take questions this evening. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, David, I want you to actually tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can set up a program in their local community, how they can actually begin to teach the Constitution. Because this is really what's so exciting, ladies and gentlemen. We've been working with the Institute for 9 years, and basically, you know, it has been slow all across the country where people have been establishing these classes and teaching the Constitution. But now, certainly one of the major impetuses for the Tea Party movement was a growing interest in the Constitution coming from graduates from the Institute of the Constitution. You're never going to be told about this. You're never going to be told that all across America, more and more people are setting up these classes, sometimes with 50, 100, 200 people in them, all learning about the Constitution, and they in turn going out and setting up classes. I went to a call for jury duty recently, and the judge said, well, now there's increasing interest in the Constitution. And she kept referring back to the fact that the Constitution was the basis for our law. Of course, she also had a law book there that she said that we had to abide by. But suddenly, there is a tremendous interest. And if we are going to take America back, you have to know what we're taking back. We're taking back the Constitution, which are reestablishing it. You see, this is the foundation of our freedom. It has been certainly pushed to one side by those who want a dictatorship. Who are they? The Brotherhood of Darkness. What's their plan? Centralize all power in Washington, D.C., bankrupt our nation, destroy our currency system, impoverish our, and then enslave our people. They know exactly what they're doing. They're going to involve us in another massive war with the Muslim world. They're going to devalue our currency by creating an inflationary spiral. That's why Barack Obama, during the 4 years he is in office, will run up a debt larger, about $6 trillion, larger than all of the previous presidents, all 43 previous presidents put together. That's why he was brought in. They've been planning this for a long time. But it could never happen if the people had adhered to the Constitution. So you better find out what this is all about. David, tell people how they get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can set up the programs for the Institute. Give them your telephone number. Tell them about the fact they can take the course online. And then if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question for David, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, David.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we've designed what we call a host kit because we know it's pretty daunting for many people to consider the idea of teaching the Constitution, but the host kit enables you to do it without really any background, and better off that you have no background in law or even background in history, because a lot of history revisionism has taken place and distorts what the founding era was like. But the host kit has 12 lectures by constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, 2 lectures by historian David Barton, a student notebook that includes an outline of each of those lectures, a detailed outline, and test questions that follow each of the lectures, supplemental readings, the founding documents themselves, everything that the student needs to take the course is in that. In addition to that, we've given a host manual that gives the answer key to all those test questions, and a guide as to how to conduct each of the 12 sessions. So we designed it as a turnkey way in which anyone with any group of people can teach them these principles that our founders constructed our constitutional republic on, and give the students a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, which are essential if the students are going to do their duty when they go to the poll, when they vote in those who are going to make decisions at the highest levels, that they know what the standard is by which to measure whether a person is adhering to the Constitution. There's some simple questions you can ask after taking the course. You know the answer to these questions, so you could ask anybody running for office simple questions like, what is the purpose of government? Oh, my. You can see a deer in the headlight kind of look in many politicians' eyes when you ask them that question, because they're trying to figure out, especially if you don't reveal where you're coming from, they're gonna try to figure out, what is it you want them to say? What is it? What's the answer that you want them to give so that they can get your vote? Well, you know right away, if they're not going to be honest with you and tell you what our founders said, which our course reveals very clearly, what is the purpose of government? They are not a person you want to vote for, because they're going to destroy rather than rebuild our constitutional republic. Well, people can order our host kit.
David, you should tell them the answer to the question you put forward. What is the function of government? Why was it established?
Three elements of it. And the first element is, first, there is a creator God. And secondly, the element is that our rights come from him. Our rights come from the creator God, not from government. And third is that the purpose of government is to secure and protect those God-given rights. And again, this is all basically laid out by our founders in the Declaration of Independence. So when you thoroughly study the Declaration of Independence and understand what they meant by the words they wrote, you know that's what the purpose of government is. So when they tell you, well, I want to go to Washington, D.C. so I can bring bacon home to the district. Nope, wrong answer. Sorry, you're not somebody I'll vote for. Or I want to go to Washington, D.C. to protect us from whatever. You know, if they don't answer that they understand that protecting your God-given rights is the only purpose of government, they are not worthy of your vote.
But let me tell you what it says in the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are established among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's what it says in the Declaration. Yeah. It was to secure the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that governments were established. And the fact that most people don't understand, that's what it says in the Declaration, that to establish our God-given rights. They think government's supposed to provide for us, for our health, education, and welfare. Ladies and gentlemen, any government that can provide whatever you need must be able to take whatever you have. And once the government can determine, provide for your health, it's going to be able to say who lives and who dies. And believe me, the death panels are there. They were there in the stimulus bill. Barack Obama didn't lie. He said there are no death panels in the health care bill. He's actually absolutely right. But he doesn't mention they were already established in the stimulus bill. They really do intend to off Granny and you. And believe me, they're already doing so much today to destroy the health of our people. But go right ahead, David. Explain to them how they then can get take these courses and give them the places where they can get the information.
Yes. You can call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. Our toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And we invite you to visit our website. Website for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. That website again is iotconline.com. And click on the link for the store and host kit, as well as many other materials that can help you understand our founders' view of law and government, lectures that can help apply those principles in many different areas of life. And on the website itself, I have a blog, and Michael Peruca has a blog of different events that we've been doing, speeches that we've given that you can download and listen online. There's a whole host of materials available, articles, and things that can help you understand these principles and help you teach others of these things. One of the
Before we go on, let's just go to Pure Heart, who's calling us from Aptos, an old friend, longtime supporter of Radio Liberty. Pure Heart, do you have a question or comment for our good pastor?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stam. Thank you, Pastor. I hope you don't think I'm engaging in plain sophistry here, but Dr. Stam asked half my question when he quoted the Constitution. Among these God-given rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and they're unalienable. I could never understand how there could be a death penalty if life is unalienable. How could they can have a death penalty? Or even prison, I guess, if liberty is unalienable. So Is there a simple explanation for a feeble-minded guy like me?
Sure. Excellent question. And when they refer to the foundation of law in the Declaration of Independence, they say the laws of nature and nature's God. And those two phrases really are speaking the language of William Blackstone, who really was the schoolmaster in terms of legal training for all of our founders. His commentaries on the laws of England sold better in our country and was read by all of the founders. And William Blackstone said there's three types of law. First, there's the law that's human conscience and human reason, that God has implanted in the heart of every man. The second is revealed law, which is the Bible. And the third is municipal law. And Blackstone said municipal law, which is what man writes, is only valid if it fully agrees with the former two, revealed law, the Bible, or the law that God has written on the heart of every man, human conscience. And that phrase, the law of human conscience, Blackstone used the phrase, the laws of nature. That first phrase, the laws of nature in our Declaration of Independence, is straight out of Blackstone. The second speaks of the second category of law of William Blackstone, the laws of nature's God. Who is the God of nature? The God who created the universe, the Creator himself. And what are the laws of nature's God? It is the revealed law, the Bible.
And I would just point out that if your heart, basically, God has laws that thou shalt not steal. And, of course, if you steal, then, of course, you should be punished, don't you think?
Yes, I do.
And if you kill, thou shalt not kill, do you think you should be punished?
Yes.
And so that basically, then a man has an inalienable right, but he is to be protected against these. And the function of government is to protect us against people who are stealing, people who are killing, and doing other things that are in violation of God's law. So, okay, does that answer your question?
I think I still have to think about it, but yes.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you. Think about it. And if you'd like to give us a call next time David's on, well, I would love to hear from you. Okay.
Yeah, and that. The element there that's important to remember is that if there are no penalties for criminal action, in other words, if a person commits murder and there's not a severe enough penalty, then we say, what, they got away with murder. Well, quite clearly, the person murdered lost their life. The person who committed the murder goes on living. There's a kind of a sense of injustice just in that, but most importantly, God himself has defined what the penalty is for these crimes. And you know, we might say that much of the problem in America is that we're not following God's legal structure. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, we are the biggest prison population. We have the biggest prison population per capita in the world. And a lot of that is because we give prison sentences for crimes that the Bible does not specify prison sentence. Matter of fact, there's almost no prison sentences involved in the biblical law structure except the person awaiting trial. That's about the only time they'd be put in prison, because if they committed a capital crime, they're going to be executed. So once the trial is held and it's determined they're guilty, then their execution follows. If they committed a nonviolent crime, such as, you know, they stole $100,000. Well, the biblical penalty connected with that crime is to repay the entire $100,000 plus 20% on top of it. So the person you just injured by stealing from, you now have to repay them. And you have to repay them more. You have to do better to them than what you did in actually stealing. Well, how are you going to make the $100,000? You have to go out and get a job. You have to work. Put you in prison. There's no way you can ever repay and make restitution for the criminal action that you were engaged in. And therefore, the victim of the crime loses out. And then, of course, the taxpayers lose out because they got to house and feed this criminal for, you know, however many years he's incarcerated, at the tune of $50,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. It's extremely expensive.
And let's go to Leslie, who's calling us from the Tri-Cities. Leslie, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I had a question. I listen to a lot of people talk about constitutional law, but then they'll always say, you know, it's okay to take away a person's right to vote or the gun. But I knew this fellow when I was living in Hawaii, and he was like delinquent on child support, and he said that they took away his right to own a gun, and it seemed kind of like what you were saying. You know, if you did some small thing and they take away a right, it seems to me to be unconnected with the crime or whatever.
Yes,
well,
there is.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
Well, I would agree that there's just penalties for criminal actions and unjust penalties. And by the way, the whole child support thing, a book you might be interested in reading, actually we don't carry it, but maybe we need to in our bookstore, is Taken Into Custody. Stephen Baskerville exposes the entire industry, the divorce industry, that really is unjust in so many ways, and often the child support thing is designed to ruin the man financially so that he cannot ultimately afford to pay the child support. And it's just a ruinous design. And again, all of those aspects of it are a violation of God's law and the structure of how you handle a just divorce and how you handle what happens after that. But
because the biggest thing would be you should never marry unless you realize this is not something you do. It's something for life. It's for the entire life. You don't get married and, well, it didn't work out, you know. You take that woman until death do us part. But we've trivialized marriage. And that's why, of course, we have almost half of our marriages end up in divorce today. Certainly, 40% of our children are born out of wedlock today, Leslie. We've got to get back to the moral foundation where people fear God, and certainly they get married for life. There may be a rare instance where divorce is justified with infidelity or something of that sort, but it's about time we got back to people who have fear of God, and they get married, and they're going to be there married for life, and that's the way it used to be. Anything else, Leslie?
Does he feel that there's any crimes that that it's justified to take away a right for life?
There are, I would say, if a person has committed murder, first-degree murder, not manslaughter, where they accidentally did something that resulted in the death of another human being, I believe that very clearly the biblical penalty for such a crime as first-degree murder is that the person be executed. They forfeited their life because they particularly planned and executed the taking of another person's life. So, but other than that, there's not a whole lot of crimes that reach that level where, you know, capital punishment is required. Biblically, there's many other punishments that are punishments that essentially fit the crime rather than are unjust in the penalty phase.
And probably half of the people in prison today are there on drug charges or affiliated. And the largest drug provider in the country is the CIA. And if anybody doubts that, go up on the internet and look up CIA and drugs. Everybody in the world knows it, except the American people. Thanks so much for calling, Leslie. Thanks so much for calling. Well, David, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's great to hear from listeners. And we were talking about the case of Furman v. Georgia, which Brennan and Marshall, the justices, argued that capital punishment, they claim.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Take away our life. Amen. God help us.
Amen to that. God bless. Thanks for
having us. Thank you so much, Dr.
We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, God bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. As you know, we of course, been around for 15 years or more, and a lot of the people have been with us for a long time, but many of them have lost their jobs, and certainly because they've lost their jobs, and they're just not able to, had to write and say, you know, we'd like to stay with it, but we can't afford to, and so we usually send them a newsletter, and sometimes they'll get a new job and join again, but an awful lot of them haven't. So if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We did have a very generous gentleman who came up to help us part way with getting things back in good shape. And my wife came to me and Chris told me that I didn't realize, Chris, what had happened. And anyway, we could certainly use your help if you're in a position to help, and if not, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, or perhaps you'd like to advertise with Radio Liberty. This would always help us. Under any circumstances, why, of course, we want you to go to our website, radioliberty.com. We want you to look at the items we have. We've got a great new website. It's called The Story of Jesus, and basically we're going to start emphasizing a great deal more of the spiritual aspect of this. Click on The Story of Jesus and read it through, and then encourage your friends to. We have another website there on the banner page. It says, How Do You Know You're Saved? These are entirely new. But I think that the way things are going, we're going to have to emphasize even more the spiritual aspect of the battle we're involved in, because this is a spiritual battle. Now, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get my DVD, The World Revolution. You're seeing the world revolution being played out in the Near East, the Middle East today, the destruction of the existing social order. And it's replacement by a new social order. It's going to be the radical Muslim faith, the Muslim Brotherhood, in preparation for the coming war with a Muslim world. But then if you don't have an enemy that you hate, how can you have a war? And they're doing everything they can to get the Muslims to hate the Christians and the Jews. And here in America, to get the Christians to hate the Muslims, of course, they get the people in Israel to hate the Muslims. You can't have a good war unless you got a lot of hatred out there. And they're programming the Christians to believe that the Muslims want here, come here and take away our freedom and get us all under Sharia law. And there are a few of them who do, but most of them are being manipulated. This, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Then, of course, you need, of course, to hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret. It's a DVD. Hear my talk on The Dark Secret. It's a CD-ROM. And then get the syllabuses that go with those. To understand the genocidal program that is being carried out in America today. You need to get my talk on the hidden agenda and the syllabus, the hidden agenda, the fluoride deception. They're available from Radio Liberty, and they have all of the documentation for what we're talking about. And you need that documentation to reach others. Then, of course, you've got to get people to begin reading. You need to get them to read my Population Control Agenda monograph. It's available on the Internet. It's available on our website. Get anything from us, just ask for a copy. Get it, and then, of course, copy it and get it out on your own. And then, ladies and gentlemen, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Pray for the people over there, and certainly in the there in Japan, and that some of them will come to know the Lord because of the missionary work that's being done. But please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Patrick Wood, who is, Chris, one of the country's leading experts on the Trilateral Commission. And if you haven't been to his website, augustreview.org, go there and get the information on the Trilateral Commission and understand that the people who surround Barack Obama all come from, or many of them come from the Trilateral Commission. Those who don't come from the Trilateral Commission come from the Council on Foreign Relations, most of them. And basically, of course, they've got hundreds and hundreds of CFR and Trilateral Commission members in key positions in the Obama administration, because these are the people, the superclass, the elite, the power elite, the brotherhood of darkness that runs America today. And where do we stand? Well, of course, a million people lost their homes in 2008. And a million people lost their homes in 2009. A million people lost their homes in 2010. Probably well over a million people will lose their homes this year. Probably not quite a million people lost their homes in 2008. It was probably about half a million. But 2009, 2010, 2011 is going to be a worse year. The employment is certainly not picking up. Oh, my goodness, unemployment is down to 9%. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's the U2 unemployment. What about the U6 unemployment? Well, we don't talk about that because basically U2 excludes the people who've given up looking for work, the people who run out of unemployment benefits, the people who are having to work two or three jobs. And if you get into that, you're already looking at 16-17%. And then you take away the birth-death ratio, which is something they made up to make things look better. You're talking about 22% unemployment. Here in California, they'll acknowledge 12.5% unemployment, and that is simply the U2 unemployment. far worse than that, especially out in the Central Valley, where they've intentionally and purposely and maliciously destroyed the agricultural base of that once great farming region, one of the richest, most productive areas in the world, and all because of a 3-inch smelt. Do you really, honestly, in your heart of hearts, believe that? No, they did that because they want to destroy the agriculture in America. They want to transfer agricultural production overseas. They want to impoverish our people. And when you understand that, it makes sense. Why do you think that they transferred the production of electric light bulbs to communist China? I mean, do you think that fluorescent light bulbs are that much better? They're far more expensive. They have to be subsidized so people can buy them from about $4 each to $1 each. But there has to be a subsidy. Why would they do that? Is the fluorescent light better for you? No, in fact, there's many suggestions that it's carcinogenic and be unjust to your health. But if you understand it's all about transferring jobs to communist China, it makes sense. But I'm going to let Pat Wood talk to him about that, and he wants to talk about these ideas, these theories of technocracy. But before you get to technocracy, Pat, would you like to tell us what's happening with the market and what's going to happen from your point of view?
Well, Dr. Stan, that's a we need to say something about the market right now, because we've had several days down in a row, and as we know, Japan, the Japanese market, has just literally been ripped apart since the great tsunami and earthquake there.
So what's going to happen?
Well, it looks to me like our stock market is going to follow suit, and I think probably we've reached the top that we were expecting just about 10 days ago, and I think that right now there's a strong wave down.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Pat.
I think that there will be a strong wave down that will continue to much lower levels than what we have right now. And I know it confuses a lot of people thinking that, well, you know, the market takes a hit because of the earthquake. And that's really not the way markets work. They're not really news-driven, in my estimation. But the market was ready to roll over anyway. It just needed a good excuse to do it. And the earthquake in Japan certainly provided that kind of an excuse. And, of course, it did take a few layers off of, investor sentiment as well. Just in the last few days, it's been a very dark cloud that's come over everything. But all of a sudden now, traders and investors have a legitimate reason to sell. They've just been waiting for that, I think. Give me some reason to sell, and I will. They've got it now, and I think we're looking at much lower prices on our stock market. The thing that's really difficult here, Dr. Stan, is that all of the asset classes that are important in America could be headed down now. You've got real estate down. You've got interest rates on bonds and stuff are going down. Denying fixed asset, fixed income investors their income. You've got stocks potentially going down now. Gold and silver has taken a huge hit right along with stocks in the last few days. This could be a very, very difficult time for the middle class at large, as all of the wealth-producing classes that they have available to them are going down at the same time. And, this would happen back in 2008, 2009, of course. It was just a devastation. I think the American public at large lost something like $13 trillion just in 18 months because all the markets were going in the same direction. There was just no relief. It's like being in Japan when the tsunami hits. Where do you turn? There's nowhere to turn. You can run for the hills, but you're going to be really cold when you get up there at night, and you're going to have to worry about food and water. There's no place to run. Well, the markets may be returning to such a state now that there's going to be no place for people to run to find safety. And that's kind of a depressing look at it, but, we've been looking at this for some time. I wish I could give more optimistic news that the market's going to go up to the moon, but I can't do that. Just cannot do it.
Well, I think it's really very interesting as we look and see where the Open Market Committee, the Federal Reserve, had a meeting, and they've decided to keep interest rates down because there's not enough inflation. And, of course, because you go to the store, why prices are going up, you go to the gas station, prices are going up. But that's not the core inflation. And so hold that just a moment here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Pat was just saying he thinks the markets are turned. And certainly this is not simply in response to what's happened in Japan. That basically the fundamentals show that the market is going to go down. Now, let me point out that the Federal Reserve, these really smart people who run our country, have decided to keep the interest rates low and to keep buying, but in other words, creating money out of nothing and buying bonds because they want to keep the interest rates on the Treasury bonds low. By buying up a lot of them, they hope to keep the interest rates low. By pouring money in the economy, they hope to stimulate it. Ladies and gentlemen, how long can you try to spend yourself into prosperity? 40 cents, 43 cents out of every dollar the government spends is borrowed money. And by the time Barack Obama leaves office, hopefully in 2012, why, of course, he will have accumulated more debt than all previous 43 presidents. And he's carrying out a program. It was laid out by two men. One was named Clower, the other was named Pivot back in 1966. In an article they wrote for Nation magazine, these were hardcore socialists. And they said, we can destroy this nation by spending it into oblivion, by offering all sorts of wonderful programs. Everybody's going to want them. And, of course, we'll simply bankrupt the nation. Out of the chaos that comes, we'll come out under a wonderful socialist society. Really, they mean a fascist dictatorship, because that's what socialism really is, a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory. But somebody has to be in charge, and that will be the people of great wealth who fund the whole world socialist movement. Right now, of course, Ben Bernanke, we hear stories, I don't know whether they're true or not, but the Ben Bernanke is moving his money into Canadian dollars. He knows exactly what he's doing. Have you heard those stories? Is there any truth of that, Pat?
Actually, I haven't heard that, Dr. Stan. I don't know.
I don't know whether it's true or not, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. He's smart enough to know that basically if he raises the interest rates, why, of course, the economy collapses. If he keeps the interest rates down and keeps pouring money in, the monetary system collapses. Which would you rather have, a collapsed monetary system or a collapsed economy? I think we're going to end up with both. Go right ahead, Pat.
Well, you will end up with both. And I have to say that regardless of what the Federal Reserve does today, I think they will be rendered irrelevant in the end. And I think the forces that have already been unleashed are working in spite of what the Federal Reserve has done. We've got Europe on the precipice of a complete collapse, financial collapse again. We've got the Mideast in flames, and we got the third largest economy in the world right now on its knees. How can we survive all this?
And remember, the second largest economy, which is China, is having real troubles. They're having to tighten their loan requirements and raise their interest rates to try to keep inflation from getting totally out of control. The cost of Chinese products is going up. That's one reason why their exports were actually markedly down. The costs are going up because the prices are going up over there. And that's the second largest economy. The third largest economy is in shambles. And look at the largest economy in the world. Go right ahead, Pat.
Well, that's right. And China is on the ropes right now, too. They had a surprise trade deficit this last month. And what's interesting about this, if you think about it, China has been the great beneficiary of the trade mechanism that the Trilateral Commission set up. They've consistently run a surplus while we've consistently run a deficit. They've stripped us bare, so to speak. But the tables are turning on them, and all of a sudden they're starting to turn in trade deficits themselves, where they're importing more than they're exporting. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, if everybody is running at a trade deficit, and Europe is, and we are, and Canada is, and, China is, and, of course, Japan is now, too, who's, you know, where's all the money going? It's impossible for everybody to have a trade deficit at the same time. That means that the whole world is on the verge of bankruptcy at this point, not just a few countries. And China has a number of areas in their economy that look very much like a bubble right now, and they could really have an internal economic meltdown. If that happens, and I think odds are very high that it will, if that happens, the rest of the global economy will follow suit with them, because they're really the last nation that's kind of propping everything up, if you will. And so as China goes, I think we can almost with certainty say that so the world will go right along with them in the next year or two.
Well, it's really fascinating times. And ladies and gentlemen, before this is over, most people who are in conventional investments are going to lose everything. Reassess what you're doing. You are not conservative and acting properly and rationally if you're remaining in dollar-denominated assets, and I'm talking about bonds, I'm talking about most stocks, and I'm talking about the conventional pensions and annuities and CDs and bank accounts and savings accounts that have been traditionally espoused as being conservative. When you're on the verge of having a destroyed dollar, you don't want to be in dollars, do you? But go ahead, Pat.
Well, yeah, you know, the problem with no place to run is that it's, you can't really set your sights on one area and say, that's my solution. You know, you think about the people at the tsunami hit in Japan, that earthquake. Some of them undoubtedly had stores of food, gold and silver and diamonds and you name it, stored up for any kind of disaster you could possibly imagine. And by the time the tsunami was done with them, they had zero. So, you know, you look at that and you say, well, that's unfortunate. They did all, maybe they did all the preparation in it with nothing. Well, this economy right now is structured so that it's going to implement a scorched earth policy before it's done. And trying to find a haven to protect yourself in is very difficult. And even if you do everything just right and you do all the things that the experts say, by the time they're done destroying the economy and destroying the world, the global economy, we could all be reduced to zero anyway, in spite of our preparation. And that's probably the most disturbing thing right now. And one of the reasons I'm coming to that conclusion, Dr. Stan, is that I'm on an increasing basis, I'm very concerned that what the Trilateral Commission is after, what their end game is. They originally wanted to create a new international economic order. You've heard that, I know, 10 million times. That's what they said with their own lips back then, in the early 1970s. This new international economic order may actually be something new that we've never seen before, the likes of which historically has been called technocracy with a capital T. And technocracy is a brand new economic system. It's not like the system we have today at all, because it's not based on money. Money would be out of the game altogether, and the core of the system would be based on energy and energy allocation and energy distribution. And, of course, everything in the world turns on energy. We grow food when we have energy. We build things when we have energy. We go places when we have energy. We heat our houses with energy so we can stay alive. And et cetera, et cetera. Energy is probably one of the most key elements to life on planet Earth. And if they flip out the economy that we have today, just let it destroy itself, let it be done with itself, if they come out with their technocratic society and substitute energy and energy credits and, or whatever you want to call them, energy currency for what we have today, then everything that we have today will be rendered completely useless during that period of time, and they will control the whole shooting match. I'm very concerned that this is their end game, Dr. Stan. And the more I'm reading, the more I see trouble signs on the horizon. You know, there's lots of smoking guns that I can find, at least at this point, that lead me to the conclusion that something bigger is up than just whether the dollar is going to survive, or is the euro going to survive, or is China going to be better, or whatever. I think those little arguments are going to be giving way to something much, much larger in the end, and I think it's going to look like technocracy. That is historic technocracy from the 1930s.
Well, why don't you explain to our listeners what historic technocracy is? Because most people aren't acquainted with this term, certainly. Some may remember Zygmunt Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, America in the Technocratic Age, where he was talking about how the world would be run by technocrats. What's a technocrat? What is technocracy? And will this be a better system or a worse system?
Well, it'd be much worse, actually. There's two forks conceptually in technocracy. One is used rather loosely with a small t. It has to do with anybody that's an expert in technology that's running a system of some kind or another. So people in government are often called technocrats instead of bureaucrats today. And all that means is they're using technology and something that they would call science to make decisions for how society should be structured. That's part of technocracy. But the most important part that came from the 1930s was a complete economic replacement program. This technocracy was a very popular movement during the Great Depression because people believed the economy was falling apart and capitalism was dead, and that they had to replace it with something. They called that technocracy. I'll explain it in just a second.
Why don't you go ahead and get started?
Okay. Well, technocracy was founded by a guy by the name of M. King Hubbard and Howard Scott. Howard Scott was a bit player, as it turns out, in the end. M. King Hubbard was the guy who went on during the 50s to discover or define the peak oil theory that we see throughout all of the ecological movement today, all of the energy, green energy movement. Everything is based on the peak oil theory that was created by M. King Hubbard, who was a co-founder of the technocracy movement.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Patrick, go right ahead.
Okay.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey Water Filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Appliances, we were talking about the smart grid. And basically, of course, he's hypothesizing that the real plan that is being carried out today is a plan by which, of course, they are going to control energy, and by controlling energy, they're going to control people, and they're going to do this through this whole mechanism of controlling every aspect of energy. And basically, he talks about a website called Genie, G is a G-E-N-I.
.org.
Genie.org, which describes this, and it's not imaginary, it's real. They're putting in these grids. These grids will be able to control what goes on in your home. This grid will be able to control your appliances. They're already building those appliances as part of a program so they can turn them off or on at their discretion. And basically, these people believe that they have the right to run your lives. Everything is in place. It is the most incredible story ever told. In fact, a lot of this is told in a book by Wee Carey called Climate Gate by Brian Sussman. There is a master plan by which you'll be controlled from the cradle to the grave by these technocrats who know what's best for you. And you will not have anything to say about it because they will have simply bypassed the electoral process. They rig elections. They control the wealth of the world, and they want to control even whether your air conditioning is turned up or turned down, whether your refrigerator is working or not working, all done in the name of, course, sustainable development. Go right ahead.
That's it. Sustainable development is very much a player in this. The GENI, by the way, stands for Global Energy Network Institute, and this is not a crackpot institute. These are not just a bunch of wingnuts wearing tinfoil hats. These are serious players on the world stage that are intent on creating, you know, top engineers, you know, there's countries involved in this. They're fully intent on setting up this global energy network. But let me tell you, the name that you're going to see on the very first paragraph of this website, when you read right in the center of the page, the first human name that you're going to come across is Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller. Now, I know you, Dr. Stan, will remember something about Buckminster Fuller. Most people will not, because he was a generation ago. But Fuller was a futurist. He was a design engineer. He was a utopianist, I guess I would say. And he also was a technocrat. He died some years ago, but he was alive during the 1930s. During that time, Dr. Stan, he personally knew Howard Scott. He personally knew M. King Hubbard, and was friends with them, and for a time was actually part of the organization Technocracy, Inc. He pulled away from them a few years later, not renouncing their theory, but only renouncing some of their techniques they were using to get there. But Buckminster Fuller spent enough time with the original technocrats to be deemed a technocrat as time went on. And this GENI, this Global Energy Network Institute, is a creation. This was a visionary creation of our Buckminster Fuller some 30 years ago. And they give him full credit on the homepage of the GENI website. And this, to me, is a full stamp of approval that what this is pure, unadulterated technocracy from the 1930s. Yes, it's warmed over a little bit. Yes, it doesn't really just limit itself to the to North America. In fact, that was one of Buckminster's criticisms, when it was only limited to North America. He believed it should be the whole world that was involved in a technocratic society. But now they've turned it into a global technocracy, all the continents of the world, rather than just North America. But it's right out of the playbook, Dr. Stan. The more I read of early technocracy from the history books, the more I saw it was the same exact thing.
But what they really want to do is control you, control your home, control your appliances, control everything from the cradle to the grave. And basically, these are the people who will be the new rulers of the world, and of course they'll be brought in by governments all throughout the world. And of course everything is in place, everybody has a number, everybody of course is being watched constantly by their cameras. Everybody of course has a card so they can track what you buy. Everybody has a dossier so they know what you do. They listen to your telephone calls, the Project Echelon. They read your emails, your faxes. It's everything is in place, ladies and gentlemen. Everything. Patrick, go right ahead.
Well, I would mention another website also at this point, Dr. Stan, called terawatch.com. And Terra is like the Earth, T-E-R-R-A. And watts, W-A-T-T-S, is a unit of measure of electricity. So terawatch.com is another website that speaks about this global energy grid. Seems to work very closely with Global Energy Network Institute. And what they describe on their homepage, that there is a new worldwide web of energy that's being created as we speak. That's what they call it, a new worldwide web. Of course, now we know what the Internet is, the WWW, the World Wide Web, as we have connecting people together. The new worldwide web, they claim, is the key to fighting climate change. So they have brought the climate change argument right into this. They see this new worldwide web as a way to fight climate change. Now, we're not going to go into all the climate change and sustainable development stuff tonight to explain what their agenda is altogether. Most of your listeners already have some feeling for that, I'm sure. It's not, none of it's good. But the new worldwide web is being described as a network of things rather than a network of people. The Internet, as we know it today, connects people together. You have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have websites and so on. People look at webs. People are connected to other people because of the Internet today. With the new World Wide Web that they anticipate, Dr. Stan, they're looking at, this is a new term now in the technological world, a network of things where inanimate things communicate with each other about their, their state, the processes that they're running, and so on. So, for instance, your air conditioner in your house is a thing. your stove is a thing, your washer, dryer are things that have embedded chips in them that connect to this new worldwide web of energy, and all of the things in the world are going to be communicating with each other into one single computer.
Well, that thought, Pat, what he is talking about, how everything is going to be coordinated by computers, and how suddenly all the things like your appliances, your air conditioner, your heating, the washing machine, your home, they're all going to be connected together. All things are going to have chips in them. And they're all going to be actually coordinated through great computers. They're going to determine, you know, whether what time you can do your washing with your central washing machine. They're going to determine what the temperature will be in your home. They'll determine what the temperature will be in your refrigerator. You say that's crazy talk. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world gone mad. Go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, those who saw the Internet back in 1992 never had an idea really of where it was going to go. You know, that we didn't look forward and really see where we are, where we're going to be today. We knew it was big. We knew it was significant. But one thing we ought to take away from the Internet experience and how rapidly it grew and how it changed life on Earth, we need to recognize that if somebody's talking about a new type of network in the world, like, for instance, a network of things, there will be a global energy network, we better darn well pay attention to it and not just slough it off as some kind of science fiction. It is not science fiction, I assure you. But let me give you a scenario on how a network of things can work. Let's say you live in a neighborhood, which I know you do, and let's say you have a substation, an energy substation, say 5 miles from you, that serves everybody in a five-mile radius. If the utility, if the controllers of energy send down X amount of energy to that substation, said this is your allocation, do what you want to do with it, but you ain't getting no more. And so the network of things would take over to receive that energy allocation from on high, and it would distribute it equally to the people within that network according to the things that they have to manage energy with. So if the thermostats had to be cut back a tad, plus if washing had to be curtailed, or plus, you know, go on ad infinitum, they would, the network itself would communicate across your neighborhood. All your neighbors would receive the same instructions or the same criteria from the substation. This is the energy you get, and so you manage it, you know, you turn things off, turn things on, whatever, you manage it, and make sure that nobody runs out of energy 100%, but otherwise everybody's being controlled as to how much they can consume. This is exactly what the network of things will do, but not just on a local basis, not just on a state basis, but on a global basis as well. It's the most frightening thing that I've ever heard in my life, Dr. Stan. How big a computer would you need to control every point of energy consumption in the world today? Well, you need a big one, I'll tell you that much. It'd have to be like the big financial computers they have in Europe, you know, that control, like at the Bank for International Settlements, that controls all the currency in the world in financial transactions. It would have to be huge. But the point is, the computers exist today that can handle that kind of traffic and computation, and they can drive it from the top down based on the energy available in the system. They can distribute it continentally, down to nations, down to states and provinces, down to local communities and counties and cities, down to your very local community where you have your minor substation, and they can manipulate and control the network of things without human involvement at all. That's the end state of technocracy.
And, you know, because we were told sometime, one day the time would come when you'd never be able to buy or sell, just you wore the mark of the beast, or were known by the number of his name. We were talking about a totally controlled society. Would that be a fair estimate?
That's exactly where it's going. Now I have to say and confess that we have talked about feudalism before, you and I have. We've talked about, you know, what it would look like when you think about socialism, when you think about communism. And I'll have to say, Dr. Stan, if technocracy is the end game, it is much worse and much more destructive than socialism or communism would ever, ever be. And the reason for that is you have to go back and study the technocracy movement from the 30s. There was no provision for private property. In fact, the only provision for property was that all property had to be held in common for the global common. And so there's no ability to accumulate wealth. If you can't own property, you cannot possibly accumulate wealth. And the other thing is that the energy credits that they proposed to issue expired on a chronological timetable, kind of like food stamps would, but you had to be reissued your allocation during each new period of the energy budget. And so you'd be given at the end, like for instance, at the beginning of the month, you'd get your allotment, say, of 1,000 energy credits, and you could go out and buy stuff in stores and buy heating oil, whatever, that would be priced in terms of energy credits. But once you run out, you're out. If you're frugal enough to save a few, they come to at the end of the month and say, no, you can't save over till the next month. They just expired and you're out of energy credits. We'll give you a new allowance for the new month. And so there's no ability to accumulate wealth in a technocracy. Even in communism, at least a few people could accumulate something. Even if you're poor, even poor people could scrape together where they could save up a little bit of stuff, maybe a few extra loaves of bread. But in a technocracy, there's going to be no such thing. It's a very frightening thing. If people want to understand what technocracy is from a social point of view, let them go back and read the classic work, Brave New World. That book was written in the 1930s. It was written with technocracy in view. Not too many people realize that. Brave New World is another book by Aldous Huxley, written during the same period with technocracy in view. That's where they got their inspiration for those books. Not many people knew that. I didn't know that when I had to read those in English in my English class when I was in high school. They were classic books. I had no clue that they were both looking at the technocracy movement back in the 1930s when
now,
they came up.
What are the two books, Chris? I know Aldous Huxley's The Brave New World. What was the other one?
1984.
Okay, fine. So 1984 by George Orwell, and Aldous Huxley by Sidney wrote Brave New World. And they were negative utopian books. They gave you the impression that this would be a horrible world, and it will be a horrible world. Everything planned for you with Big Brother or whoever it would be, watching over you, watching you in your bedroom, watching you in your living room, watching you in your kitchen, watching you in the bathroom, watching all the time. Go out, ladies and gentlemen, to your stores and look at all those video cameras watching you. Go right ahead.
They are watching us. The Brave New World in particular was interesting in that it described technology that did not exist at that time. It was envisioned, however, of people like Buckminster Fuller, of people like M. King Hubbard. These futurists back then predicted, technology at some point in time that could do the kinds of things that was written about in Brave New World. Now, if you just have to go read Brave New World to pick up on what that technology was, but there was cameras everywhere. There was cameras in the televisions. There was cameras in the mirrors in people's homes.
Did you mention the cameras on both sides of the iPods? No. you get an iPod with just a camera on one side, but now they have a camera on both sides. Why would you devise a device with a camera on both sides? Because if you lay it down on the table, you lay one side down, but the other side is still watching you or has the ability to. And believe me, they have the technology. We know, for instance, in your laptop computers, the modern laptop computers have a camera in them. They have a microphone in them. And, oh, it's wonderful. You can certainly call your friends, you know, with using that and talk to them. You can see them and they can see you. But how do you know that they don't have the technology and the software in there so that even when you have that turned off and the top is up, they can't watch you and listen to you? And ladies and gentlemen, we know they have the technology to listen to your conversations on your cell phone, even when your cell phone's turned off. Go right ahead.
Well, they're watching us in a thousand ways right now. You know, you have to, whatever new thing comes along, just add it to the list, I guess. But the key thing is, the key thing in all of this is intent. What is the intent of the people that are throwing this, you know, inventing this stuff, throwing it out? What's the point? You know, the technology in itself is not evil, just like a dollar bill sitting on a table, not evil by itself. But how men use it determine on whether it's used for good or used for evil. And technology that is subservient to men, to people, is probably a pretty helpful thing. I mean, look at somebody that has a pacemaker, for instance. That's great. Technology in a pacemaker is working for the guy or the gal who's has it installed on their heart or their chest. But when technology is used to control people, to make them the slaves, then that is patently evil. Just like the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, technology in the hands of evil people is the most despicable evil that you can imagine.
And I would simply point out that they have the technology. Not only do they have the technology, they have the computers now by which every telephone call you make, every email you send and every fax you send is read. Now, it's read by a computer, admittedly, but if certain keywords or phrases or anything, of course, triggers a response, they will have an individual look at your email, look at your fax, listen to your telephone calls. It's called Project Echelon. Do you know about Project Echelon? Why doesn't Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, talk about Project Echelon? Go up on the Internet and look and see there. And, of course, it's coordinated by the most powerful intelligence agency in America. It's called NSA. No such agency or National Security Administration. Far larger than the CIA. Why don't you ever hear anybody talk about it? If Project Echelon is listening to it, that's a violation of the law. But certainly the NSA is not listening to our conversations. They help the British listen to our conversations so they can go before Congress and say why we wouldn't violate the law. No, they help the British violate the law, and then we go to Great Britain and listen to the people there and people in Europe. This is not imaginary. This has nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. They were doing this long before September 11th. Project Echelon, your worst nightmare. It's been around for 20 years, and the fact that you've never heard of it is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. The brave new world is not coming, ladies and gentlemen. The brave new world is here. Go right ahead, Pat.
Yeah, the brave new world is here. Just one thought on the NSA, that's the National Security Agency, that is involved with Project Echelon and other things, too, I might add. They're kind of a super spook agency, it would seem, you know, somewhere more super spook even than the CIA, certainly more than the FBI. But what's interesting to me is that the NSA is actually headquartered under the Department of under the Pentagon in the military. It's a military organization, not a civilian-run organization like, for instance, the FBI and the CIA are. This is actually run through the Department of the Military. And you have to ask, why does our military need this kind of information on us? Except to say that it was the militaries of the rogue countries and the various nations in the 1800s and 1900s, especially in the 1900s, it was the military of those countries that that did the horrible genocidal things to the people in their own countries. You had Cambodia, you had China, you had the Soviet Union, you had Germany. In all of those countries, it was the military who executed the plans that wiped out hundreds of millions of people, mercilessly killed them, murdered them. And we like to think of our military as, God bless our troops, in one sense, you know, you could say, well, the ones that I know that got into it, whatever, I say, God, yes, please bless them. Don't let them die. But I greatly fear our military at this point, Dr. Stan, that where the direction they're headed is completely unwarranted in times like we have today, completely unwarranted. And that's probably the greatest question that needs to be asked. Why do they need to be involved from this point of view? Well, of course, the military does not live within the justice system and the rule of law that we have in America today. They have their own judicial system. They have their own private protected bases that nobody can get into. You know, they're not subject to civilian courts whatsoever. What is our military doing involved with the NSA?
Basically, of course, one only has to look up DARPA, D-A-R-P-A. Now, you probably, I think they've taken down the website, but you can find it on other people's websites, where they have this, of course, picture of the globe, and in the middle of the globe is the triangle, is the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill and the eye. And basically that pyramid, the eye is watching the world. You'll see the picture of the world. You'll see the eye watching the world. That's what DARPA is, the defense, certainly. You have DARPA, a military division watching everybody. In fact, General Odom, who headed NSA, wrote a book called Fixing Intelligence, and in that book, 2003, he couldn't tell you what was going on because it signed secrecy agreements, but could ask questions. And one of them was, should the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is what DARPA is, be keeping dossiers on American citizens? Should the Defense Intelligence Agency be keeping dossiers on American citizens? He didn't tell you what they were doing. He just asked the question. If that's true, why doesn't anybody know it? Go up on my internet site. Just type in your search engine of Radio Liberty, DARPA or General Odom. You get the reference. We can even send you the pages. They're watching it, ladies and gentlemen. They have a dossier on you. The FBI has a dossier on you. CIA has a dossier on you. Everybody is watching. They're watching you. Could this really happen in America? It's not only could happen, ladies and gentlemen, it is happening. You better wake up soon. Pat, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, this has been a good one, Dr. Stan. I hope people have a sensitivity.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Hey, thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. If you want to get to Patrick's site, it's augustreview.org. That's augustreview.org. Excellent material there. And then, of course, go to our website, radioliberty.org. We are involved in a great spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. If you'd like to help us, our website, radioliberty.com, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because we have sort of a different outlook than most of the talk show hosts. I mean, certainly we believe that this is a political battle. But it's only a political battle at that. It's a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield, a cultural battlefield, an ideological battlefield. But we really do struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Please go to our website, radioliberty.com. There's a banner there that says, The Story of Jesus. Or look at it, The Story of Jesus. Another one says, How Do You Know You're Saved? Go there, analyze them, and think about the things we talk about here. A lot of people say, I can't believe in a God that allowed these terrible things to happen. Well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it, want to believe in him or not. He is real. He works in the affairs of men. I see him almost every day influencing my life, and as I look back over the 82 years I've lived, I see his hand in so many things that happened to me. And I think if once you've given your life to him, and you're going to have to give your life to him sooner or later, or at least you should, or you're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. On Judgment Day, and that is the fate of the damned, not the fate of those who have the opportunity for eternal life with our Lord. So basically, understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization. Read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hear my talk, Forbidden Secret, and get the syllabus that goes with that. My talk, or listen to it's on CD, ROM, listen to my talk, The Dark Secret, and get the syllabus. Get the information. Think about it. Is it possible there really is another dimension? Is it possible that this really whole story about God and Christianity and this spiritual battle. Could this really be true? And I think if you analyze what's going on, you'll find it really is. Ted Flynn's got a wonderful book. His kid's a good friend. It's called The Hope of the Wicked. We certainly recommend it, The Hope of the Wicked. And then, of course, we suggest reading Dr. Dennis Cuddy's works. We have so many of them. You can call us at our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Just ask for a list of Dr. Cuddy's books, and we have all those that are in print. We consider him not only a friend, but the finest researcher of this age. We do hope, of course, that you will want to get some of the four tape sets, the videos, the talks that we have. One of my favorite talks is The World Revolution, where you'll actually see my interview with Ambassador Smith, where he tells you, he was the ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution, he tells you how we helped to bring Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist. And then, of course, you want to get David Rockefeller's memoirs, where he tells you how his daughters go down to visit old Fidel Castro, and Fidel comes up to visit David Rockefeller. Is it possible that things aren't the way we've been told? Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 15 March 2011, a day we will probably remember as we did last Friday. As we came on the air last Friday, we had no idea, literally, how bad it was going to get. I'm like everyone else. Don't want to frighten people. Don't want to panic people. Because education is where it's at. And I think the Power Hour listeners are 99% ahead of the rest of the people simply because they are prepared. They understand. That's the main issue we're looking at right now, ladies and gentlemen, is being prepared. If you have not heard,